welcome to another episode of Top Speed 160 Podcast, where we celebrate the extraordinary and the everyday. In today's special edition, we shine a light on the unsung heroes in our communities. I'm your host, Albert, and we are joined by a very special guest who has been quietly making a profound impact in our public libraries. Phil Tolbert is a volunteer who dedicates countless hours to curate exhibits that highlight the rich history and often unrecognized achievements of the African American community. Welcome, Phil.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So, Phil, just to get started here, let's start with your background. What inspired you to start this project that focuses on these exhibits?
Well, I used to work in the public library system here in Oklahoma County, the Metropolitan Library System, and then I retired in January of 2023. And during that whole time frame, I think somehow it just fell in my lap to do exhibits and displays and things on various topics, not just African American things, but a variety of topics. So I've done things on even Christmas and things from other countries and just whatever the topic might be, or something that would be more of a generic thing that could be modified, if you will, in some ways. I remember one year I did a pirate ship that had sails on them, and on each sail on the ship, I could put posters or flyers that would promote different library-related events. And so that was a very generic kind of exhibit. And then we've had summer reading programs throughout the years. And generally, I will do something or would do something to help promote and use a showcase in the library to help promote that as well. So it has been a variety of things that I've done over all those years.
And just to be clear, and that's incredible work you're doing. Just to be clear, Phil, you're doing this mostly on a volunteer basis?
Yes. I have to be honest and say so. My house is filled with trinkets from displays and exhibits that I've done for years. The attic is very crowded right now. I need to get up there and clean some things out, but it's a lot to do.
It's kind of hard to go up there right now.
I'm not going up there now. No, I'm not. No, not going to do that.
Yeah. So you've done a lot of exhibits. Which one are you most proud of? If you can just list one or two.
I just don't know how I can do a select thing like that. I will say that one of the exhibits that was the most moving for me was the one that I did on Black Wall Street on Greenwood in the Tulsa area. And that was a special exhibit, I think, because it didn't really focus on the massacre of Greenwood. It focused on life in Greenwood before the massacre took place. And basically what I did was I went and found articles from newspapers from that era. I think there was a paper called the Tulsa Star. And then I found photographs of people sitting out in front of their store, their drugstore, their business, whatever business they might have had or whatever they were doing. And I had all these photos ready to attach to panels that I would then put inside of the showcase at the Southern Oaks Library. And I will never forget the one day that I was getting ready to put those posters or the pictures, if you will, on to the back panels. I had the photos all in a nice little stack, and it was time for me to get some tape or some glue or whatever I was going to use and attach them to the panels. And I remember I started shaking. I don't know what caused it, but I just simply started shaking. And suddenly, I don't know where it came from, but in the back of my mind, I don't know what it was, but something told me it was as though the images on those photos were telling me tell our story. And it felt like they were utilizing, trying to channel it through me or something. I don't know how else to put it, but as I was putting the items on the panels, I just felt like it was basically laying out a story about a group of people who lived and all of the many things that they did. And it felt like they were just coming alive. And so it was a very special moment, I thought.
Wow. So it felt like the people were talking to you or through you.
Almost. Yeah, almost. It seemed like that. I know that sounds a little mysterious and all that and mystical, but yeah, I mean, I didn't ask for that moment. It just happened and I was totally unexpecting of it. So it just, but it happened. Yep.
That's amazing. That's quite a story. I was gonna kind of segue into the next one where, I was gonna ask you actually how, so you had the impact on yourself, get moved in that specific moment. Do you have any of your exhibits that have had any impact on the community, on the visitors? How have people been responding to your exhibits? Have people been reaching out to you? Do you have any of those instances where things have happened positively or otherwise, in terms of your exhibit?
Well, the most recent thing that comes to my mind was a year ago at the Edmond Library when the exhibit on Juneteenth was originally displayed in that showcase. It is my understanding the staff got back with me later during the course of the time that the exhibit was up and told me about an African-American lady who came in the library and saw the exhibit. And she approached the staff and was very emotional and appreciative of the facts that this had been done and that the information was there and it was made available for everyone to see. And it's sort of like the feeling that I got on this year on Wednesday when we were actually celebrating Juneteenth. And I was driving along in my car and on the radio, they were playing some wonderful African-American music done by either composers that were African-American or performers that were African-American. And it was just a very reassuring and uplifting experience for me. So I think that may have been a little bit of what she was experiencing last year. Other exhibits that I've done, I think people have gone up at Christmas time. I've had exhibits in the library, like a exhibit of Santa Clauses and other things, or there have been a Christmas tree that was all the way almost to the ceiling. And I know that a lot of families would go and take a photo of themselves as a family in front of those items at Christmas time. And it's my understanding that some of them use that as a backdrop for their Christmas cards.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's been an interesting journey.
You're an unsung hero. People do see the displays and they appreciate it. And yeah. I just wanted to take this moment to just recognize you as a person that's actually doing this. That's impacting lives throughout the community and families and just sharing the story and continuing the story on, in the public spaces and getting the conversation going as well.
Right.
So what goes into like curating an exhibit? I know you have a lot of items in your attic and other areas. What's your process of putting together, let's say the very last one that we just did on Juneteenth? What was your process of putting that together? And did you have any challenges? And do you have any ideas of your next exhibit? How are you, taking from one and going to the next?
Well, the good thing about this exhibit is that it is, in a lot of ways, a recreation of the one that was done last year. So the question basically goes back a year because it's a matter of what I did last year to create the panels that go along the back of the exhibit, which actually tell the story of Juneteenth. So basically what I did was to create an outline of what I wanted the exhibit to do, which was to actually tell the story, give a historical background, and then also how we celebrate it these days and where we want to go from here. And I still think it's important to show the contributions that have come about in this country by African Americans. And I'm always trying to find ways to insert inventions, famous African Americans, anything that I can throw in there that promotes and shows the values, valuable things that African Americans bring to the country. So all of those things, I think, went into preparing that exhibit a year ago. This year, I thought, okay, what can I do to make the same exhibit a little different so it doesn't seem like the same exact same thing? Well, last year, I ended the exhibit at the far right with a schoolhouse. And I had this little bell in the bell tower, and it actually rang on. I had a timer on it, but it made too much noise. And so, you know, I thought, okay, let's do something different this year. And I started looking at the people in the United States that were African American, even during the era of slavery. And I began to realize that there were a lot of African Americans doing things right at the same time that people were debating and dealing with the issues of slavery. And I thought, well, this is kind of an interesting contrast, because you've got African Americans in one part of the country being told that they shouldn't be allowed to read and write. And then in other parts of the country, you've got African Americans doing medical procedures, doing open heart surgeries at the exact same time that slavery was going on. You've got musicians, you've got people inventing devices. The fountain pen was invented during the slavery. Benjamin Banneker, I think was his name, was the fellow who actually laid out the landscape, if you will, for Washington, D.C., and drew up a map for Washington, D.C. He was African American. And I thought, that's an interesting thing to be going on at the same time that in this same country, there are people debating whether or not we should be, African Americans should be enslaved. So I was just putting things together, and I spend time thinking it through and how I'm going to make it stand out. I even had to redo some of these captions on some of those entries that are in there, because I thought they were too small. So I redid them and made the captions a little bit larger to make it easier to read from outside of the showcase. So yeah, I think it through, and then I go back and rethink it. And I have some very helpful people up in Guthrie, Oklahoma at the Territorial Museum who actually loaned me the costume this year that we have of the Buffalo Soldier. And last year they loaned me a couple of additional things. There was a man's outfit that might be a servant in a house, and a female's dress that would have been a servant in the house. And so I got that together and put a few things with it, some white gloves, and made it look like, okay, you got your slaves doing things in the house, and you got slaves doing things outside in the fields. I had cotton, and I had other various tools that they were using and all of that. So yeah, you think it through and you try to figure out how you're going to arrange it. And then next thing you know, I've got more stuff in that showcase and I know what to do with. So
that's.
But at the same time, I like the idea of being able to go back and see something that you didn't see the last time you were there. And I also like the idea of filling up the showcase with so much stuff, because it gives me that feeling of accomplishment, as well as a sense that there is just not enough room in this showcase to adequately show all of the contributions made by African Americans in the history of this country. That's some of what I'm going through when I'm doing that.
Very inspiring. And I know you have, you said, you mentioned you have another exhibit at the local university here in Oklahoma, the Central University that exhibits mentors of African Americans. And so we'll, you know, I'll share a link or some of the pictures or some of the some of those inventors, and you know, just to continue to spread that message across, you know, to the rest of the audience and to the rest of the world about these unshared stories. As you mentioned, I attended one of your events and I was very fascinated by, you know, some of the stories that we hear. As you said, on one side you have people, you know, in doing cutting edge, what at that point in time was almost cutting edge.
Absolutely. And then the other side,
you know, basically doing the exact opposite, and it's exact same people. So it's truly inspiring, and you know, just goes back to the message, as you say, of Juneteenth and why it was such an important time to say, hey, you know, everybody's free, not just in one side of the country versus the other side of the country.
Exactly.
Other than the exhibits, do you have any, and you have, you said you have, what is it, 40 years experience in the library system? Do you have a background in curating? You know, what's your background? Do you do a lot of fact checking? You just like a lot of books? How do you go back and fact check and make sure that, you know, the information is accurate, can be shared publicly without any controversy around it?
I just look at different sources. Sometimes I'll see a photo in one source and then I'll see it in another source. And if I see it in more than one place, I feel like there's a pretty good chance that it's an accurate thing. And the information is pretty much the same in all of the different sources. And so I will either use something or I will create something out of all of the different ones that I'll see. So if I see a picture in a book or a description of a person or an event in a printed source, or then I'll go online and I might even look in Wikipedia or wherever, and I'll see if it's what it says there and how it lines up. And I try to combine all of that and create what I hope will be as accurate a description as I can create.
Okay. We're doing a lot of good work, and you know, mostly it sounds like you're doing it on a volunteer basis. What are the biggest challenges, I guess, maybe like finding sources and, you know, the travel? Is there any other challenges that you want the audience, if they need to help you continue to bring this work to the people? Is there any specific challenges that you would want to highlight and see if people can help and chip in?
Well, I appreciate that. I don't know. I guess you could say I've gotten to the point where I just figured out how to do things myself on the, you know, it may take more than one trip. I don't have a truck. I even rented a U-Haul a couple of times to get things in their place. One year I took the Greenwood or the Black Wall Street exhibit down to Dallas, Texas, and I just rented a U-Haul and just put it all in there. And then last year when I did the exhibit at the Edmond Library on Juneteenth, I rented a U-Haul. But I discovered this year I didn't really need that, because when you take all that stuff at one time, you've got to put it somewhere while you're setting it up inside of the showcase. So I figured, well, I'll just take a little at a time and do what I can with what I take, and then the next time I'll come back and do some more. But as far as what people can do, I would just say, get the word out that we're doing things in the community, and the libraries are very good places for information. And these are things that I think would help people to see and learn. And as far as making the exhibits work, I'm okay right now. I will go on Amazon if I get an inspiration. I'll never forget it. I was in the in my process of doing kind of a preliminary setup of that exhibit on Juneteenth that's in the library right now. And I was working on the pharmacy, the little bottles that you saw in the showcase that looked like little pharmaceutical bottles that you might see inside of a pharmacy somewhere. And I actually got those with a friend when I was up in South Dakota in an antique store that was going out of business. And I was laying that out in my sunroom here at home. And as I was looking at that, the idea came to me, I should put a microscope in here to show that. But then I thought, oh, I need a mesel and porter, whatever that's called, a pestle and a mortar. That's what I'm trying to say. The little jar that you have and then the little thing that you grind up herbs and things in. And I just got up from where I was in the sunroom and went all the way to this computer and went on Amazon and found them. And I ordered them just right then. So it was just a lot of things come to me like that. I just think, oh, if I had this, it would really stand out and make the exhibit that much more enlightening. There's a guitar in there and there's a violin in there. Well, those items I've had for years, ever since I was in grade school, I've had the violin. My mom bought that for me when I was in the sixth grade. But I didn't have a stand to stand it up on so that it would be upright in the showcase. And so I went on Amazon and I found the violin stand and I found the guitar stand as well. And just went ahead and bought those. And they were here in on the front porch a few days later. So that's kind of how I work. And I never know.
It's amazing. Do you play the violin?
Well, I did back then when I was in junior high and my last year of elementary school and then junior high. And then I was into the clarinet for the next few years through college. And I've always studied piano. So that's been my main instrument, I would say. But I get an idea somewhere and I don't know, maybe the music helps me to think it through a little bit. I don't know, but it's fun.
Okay. Do you have any wise words, gems of advice for the audience out there, the listeners out there, something you may have read from one of the inspirational inventors or, one of the stories that you've read that you want to share out with the audience or just your own personal word of advice that you want to share with everybody out there?
Well, I think the best answer that I could give you is what I would consider my signature, what I am beginning to see as my signature that goes with these kinds of exhibits. I put a mirror somewhere towards the end of the exhibit, whatever it is, if it's dealing with African-American history or anything that's informational. And the purpose of the mirror is for a person looking at the exhibit to see their own reflection. And I put with that some kind of caption that will say, what can you do yourself that would make the world a better place? So if I have done a series of photos with captions on things that different African-Americans have invented, it doesn't matter if you're African American, you could be any religion, any race, any human being that would look through that exhibit. There may be some act of kindness, something that you can do, something that you might create yourself that would enhance the world around us. And that's what the mirror represents. And that particular panel, if you will, in the exhibit. So I try to put that in all the exhibits that I do that feature the contributions of a lot of different people. And then I want that person that's looking at the exhibit to see themselves and think of, well, maybe there's something that I can do. And if I don't know what it is right now, at least I'm aware that there might be a day when I can do something. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Wow. Wise words. Mm-hmm. Before we wrap up, do you have any plans for future exhibits and where can we look forward to seeing them?
Well, one of the things that I've done over the years is a Christmas holiday village where I have a big layout and I have been doing them at the Southern Oaks Library, and I'm considering it for this year. A table about the size of a ping pong table. And then a friend of mine actually built a cabinet to put around the whole table with a roof on it. So you have this imaginary world that you can look into. And inside of the showcase, that it's a, you know, a portable showcase that I would take is out in my storage building, and I'll gather all that stuff up, the table and all the components that go with it. There are lights, Christmas lights, and little miniature lights, and I create a little miniature village of some kind. So I might one year do a village of little buildings made out of cardboard. One year I had a workshop at the library, and I invited families to come in and create little gingerbread houses. And another year we created cupcake houses. And another year we did little A-frame houses, and we would just, a kit was already created, and all they had to do was to assemble the kit and decorate it. So we could put little candy on there, put little gumdrops or whatever you want to put on there. And then when the exhibit was open, I would always have a way of lighting it up so that the light would reflect through the windows of the house. So they would come to the workshop, build their item, and I would invite them to leave it with me, and I would set it up inside of the showcase that I had with the train going around it and all the other little things that I could come up with, little mobile items that move around and it gets your interest, little skating rinks and things like that, and a train, and they love it. The kids love it. Everybody loves it. And after I take it down, I offer those items back to those families that came in, and they take them home, and they belong to them. So I'm considering doing something. I haven't figured it all out yet for this year at the Southern Oaks Library. We'll just have to see. I have thought of just doing a Santa parade or maybe a log cabin village. I'm just still trying to decide which one would be the easiest to do. So we'll see.
Sounds wonderful. I mean, I'm looking forward to it myself. I'll definitely bring the little one out there. We can
sure.
Look at the exhibit. You got a very oratory voice. You're very captivating. Are you planning to do any speaking, or any kind of presentations other than just to doing the exhibits? Do you do any presentations as well or any talks?
I think mostly, when I'm leading a workshop like the one I would do on the Christmas village, I'm always there doing the instructing of how to put it together and all of that. I have done presentations of different kinds throughout my life. I just can't think of all of them right now, but I have done things. I was interviewed on other TV stations one time. I did an exhibit on down on Second Street or Deep Deuce, which was the jazz area of Oklahoma City. And this was way back in the 1990s or maybe even the 1980s when I was at the downtown library, and I had an exhibit upstairs in the building, in the old library. And I had all these jazz albums and all of this instruments I found here and there. I borrowed from different friends and whatever. And we had all kinds of things going on to go along with what was then called the Charlie Christian Festival. And so I was involved in the library doing a big exhibit, and they invited me to go to Channel 5 and do an interview. And I did. It was fun.
You're staying busy in your retirement. That's for sure.
That is for sure.
And the things that you love, and we definitely thank you so much for sharing your story with us today. We definitely, your work is truly making a difference.
Even if it's one person
at the time or in the bigger audience. And we're definitely honored to have you on the show. So to our listeners, thank you for tuning in to this episode of Topspeed 160. And if you're inspired by Phil's story and you want to get more involved, we'll have more information on topspeed160.com website, and as well, Phil, if anybody needs to get in touch with you, do you have a way that they can get a hold of you?
Well, just contact you. If they contact you, then you contact me, and then we'll get together. Is that okay if we do it that way?
That's okay as well. I will definitely forward those good vibes and, you know,
yes,
to you as well.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Phil, and see you everybody on the next episode.
Well, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please head over to topspeed160podcast.com to get the show notes and to subscribe to our mailing list to be notified when we have new content. Please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends and family today. It really helps support our show and the guests on our show. Thank you so much, and see you on the next one.